Step into the Gen X time machine and rewind to the era of rolled jeans, flipped collars, and boomboxes blasting on every corner. Let's take a trip back to the 80s and 90s, where we relive the trends and unforgettable moments that shaped Generation X and made us who we are today.
Ah, Y2K, the great technological apocalypse that wasn't. It's hard to overstate just how much the world collectively freaked out over what was essentially a glorified math problem. Our computers didn't know how to count past 1999. But let's be honest, the drama leading up to the new millennium was equal parts hilarious and fascinating. So today, let's dive into how people prepared, how companies scrambled, and why we all thought canned goods were the solution to a digital disaster. The heart of the problem was simple. Most computer systems back then used two digits to represent the year. So 1999 was just 99. And when the year 2000 rolled around, many feared these systems would interpret it as 1900 instead. This could lead to all kinds of chaos. Bank accounts vanishing, planes falling from the sky, power grids shutting down, and toasters refusing to toast. Okay, maybe not that last one. But you get the idea. Let's start with how regular people prepared. For most, it was a mix of cautious optimism and better safe than sorry stockpiling. Picture this. It's late 1999, and your neighbor's out at Costco, buying bottled water like they're opening their own aquifer. Shelves of canned goods, batteries, and flashlights were wiped clean in record time. Some people even bought generators, because if society collapses, you're going to want to keep the fridge running for your frozen pizzas, obviously. I knew a family who went all in on Y2K prep. Their basement looked like a mini-mart, complete with Spam, powdered milk, and, for some reason, 30 jars of peanut butter. It's calorie dense, they explained. Fair enough, but their pièce de résistance was a wood-burning stove installed just in case the power grid failed. I mean, if you're going to survive the end of the world, you might as well do it with s'mores, right? And then there were the extreme preppers. These were the folks who thought Y2K wasn't just a glitch. It was the start of a new post-apocalyptic era. They built bunkers, stocked up on ammo, and even hoarded cash in case ATMs stopped working. One guy I heard about bought a plot of land in the middle of nowhere and moved his family there, convinced that city life would become impossible. I like to imagine him waking up on January 1st, 2000, realizing the world was still intact and thinking, well, this is awkward. But it wasn't just individuals bracing for impact. Companies were in full-on panic mode, too. Banks, for example, were terrified that their systems would fail, causing financial chaos. Imagine checking your account balance on January 1st and seeing it reset to $0. That's the kind of nightmare they were trying to avoid. So they poured millions of dollars into upgrading their software and running endless tests to make sure the lights would stay on, both figuratively and literally. Utility companies were another big player in the Y2K prep game. They knew they couldn't afford even a brief power outage, so they tested and retested their systems to ensure everything would keep running smoothly. Some even had teams on standby on New Year's Eve, ready to leap into action if anything went wrong. Spoiler alert, it didn't. The aviation industry also took the threat seriously. Airlines ran simulations to ensure that flights wouldn't be affected and that air traffic control systems wouldn't suddenly think it was 1900 and ground every plane. Fun fact, there were actually people who canceled their New Year's Eve flights because they were convinced Y2K would lead to mid-air chaos. To be fair, better safe than sorry is a pretty solid motto when you're 30,000 feet up. Even governments got involved. The U.S. set up a special Y2K task force to oversee preparations and make sure critical infrastructure, like hospitals and emergency services, wouldn't be affected. And then there were companies like IBM and Microsoft, which made a fortune offering Y2K compliance services. You could almost hear the cash registers dinging as they sold software patches and consulting packages to panicked businesses. But here's the kicker. All this prep worked. When the clock struck midnight on December 31st, 1999, and the world collectively held its breath, nothing major happened. Planes didn't fall from the sky. Bank accounts were fine. The power stayed on. Most of us woke up on January 1st, 2000, a little hungover, but very relieved. Of course, there were a few minor hiccups. In Japan, some radiation monitoring equipment briefly failed, and in Australia, a bus ticket machine went haywire. But that was about it. The apocalypse we'd been bracing for turned out to be a total non-event. Looking back, Y2K is a fascinating case study in what happens when you combine genuine concern, mass hysteria, and a little bit of corporate opportunism. Was the panic overblown? Probably. But it also showed what we're capable of when we work together to solve a problem. And hey, if nothing else, it taught us the value of having a well-stocked pantry. So here's to Y2K, the glitch that didn't ruin the world, but gave us one heck of a story to tell.
Your ride in the Gen X time machine has come to an end, but the memories don't stop here. Make sure to hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a trip back to the 80s and 90s. More iconic moments and nostalgic trends are waiting for you right now in the Gen X time machine podcast feed. Press subscribe now.